Hey everyone, I'm James Darnell, otherwise known as Pulse on the Internet, and welcome to Big Fight Feel, a podcast that looks to explore the colorful, sincere, and hard-hitting world of Joshi professional wrestling. I'm glad to get past the first episode jitters and into episode two, and this one might actually be a kind of long one, as we're covering three shows in this one episode. We're covering the Osaka Day Show and the Osaka Night Show from the May 25th episode. I went on the Monday Night Raw, where am I at? Which saw a big high-speed title match between Death Yamasan and Hazuki. And we're also covering the Fukuyama Konami Homecoming Show from the very next day, May 26th, which saw Konami headlining with a match against Oedo Taizone, Kagetsu. You don't want to miss this. So without further ado, let's get into the show.
Fucking QQ! Woo! My triangle dancer is 100%.
And trust me when I say, my sauce tastes good.
First off, man, I just want to thank everyone for over 200 listens in the very first week, and that's without being on Apple Podcasts. That's insane. My heart was just so full seeing that number because I didn't know what to expect with this, to be honest. This project is so out of my wheelhouse, completely off the platform that I'm most known for, which is YouTube, and to see that sort of number was very awesome. I mean, Joshi is just like, it's such like a different thing than everything I've been doing for 8 years, combined Joshi with just being a podcast that's not on YouTube. I really haven't decided how I'm going to implement YouTube yet, but for now I'm fine as it is. I think things are going pretty good right now. I'm just focusing on getting the foundation laid for this show going into the future, and we'll kind of figure something out, I'm sure. Now, the podcast is available on a bunch of different platforms now, so it just got approved by Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, Stitcher, Player FM, literally any provider of podcasts that you could possibly want, it should be on it. If there's a platform that you'd rather use and I don't have it up there and you want me to add it, please just get it with me on Twitter and tell me, or my Discord or whatever the case may be. I can add it. It's super simple for me to do so. It did take a week for us to get on Apple Podcasts. Like, they just sat there and stared at my request to add it to their platform, but thankfully they finally responded with that big accept, and that's good news for the podcast, because fun fact, I learned this recently actually, 65 to 70% of all podcast listens are through the Apple Podcast app. That's insane. That number almost doesn't even make sense. Like, Spotify, I listen to a bunch of my podcasts on Spotify. I think there'll be big competition at some point. They just kind of had to figure out where they're at in the market. There's the discoverability for podcasts and things like that, it's not as well thought out as Apple Podcasts. And I think once they figure that out, the kind of market will open up for them. But for now, they're still trying to figure out what they got to do. Anyways, I'm telling you all this information because if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, or even if you aren't, and you want to do me a big favor, please just go leave a 5-star rating and write something cool in a review. I mean, it's free and it helps visibility for the podcast on the world's most listened to podcast platform. I owe you one, pal. Now, another thing that I've been having a hard time with, especially in the first episode, and I'm trying to work on it here in the second episode, is I'm having a hard time differentiating between my YouTube voice and my podcast voice. Because my YouTube voice is like me, but dialed up to like 11. If you've ever watched me stream on Twitch or even on YouTube, I feel like my streaming voice and my podcast voice are probably a little more similar than my podcast voice and my YouTube voice. I don't feel like my podcast voice should be like as hardcore as my YouTube voice. I feel like the podcast, especially the one we're doing, is a little more intimate. You know, at least I feel, at least. And I think as time goes on, we'll kind of find that sweet spot and figure out what I need to sound like and do all that kind of stuff. And maybe we'll even become top gaijin podcasters. Now, I was originally only going to cover the bigger shows for stardom. Like, I was the next show that I had lined up in my schedule was I was going to do the June 16th show that had Arisa and Tom main eventing for the white belt. Then I realized, looking at the dates, that doing so would leave us maybe with an entire month without a new episode. That doesn't fly. So I came up with this idea where I would group a bunch of these smaller shows together and include one central show that we could kind of base the episode around, which for this one would be the Konami Homecoming show. Well, I guess to me, it's kind of like a bigger Central show. I don't know. It's kind of just a big deal to me because I really, really like Konami, and I was excited to see her go home. And I know this probably means a lot to her. So it was like a bigger show for me. So that's why I decided to base this episode around. Now, I'd also like to say that I thought it was super cool to find my Stardom beginner video that I made on YouTube a while back. I think it was a few weeks ago. And I found that both on R Squared Circle and R Stardom Joshi. And they were both on Reddit, and they were both upvoted, and all the comments were super positive, which is always super nice to read. Oh my God. I cannot tell you enough how nice it is. Even if, like, I know the person and I've known them forever, and, you know, they've said cool video 100,000 times, it's always just really nice to read that what you're doing isn't a big waste of time. You know, it's one thing to read positive things about, you know, you on your own content. You know, if I were to upload a video and I go to my contents and I see, hey, dude, this is cool. Yeah, that's really neat. You know, I appreciate that kind of stuff. But seeing it posted somewhere else on a platform that's not your own, like a Reddit or whatever the case may be, and seeing that same reaction is very, very cool. Like it's seeing that kind of stuff that makes it super easy for me to continue doing what I do, continue creating like I create. You know, sometimes it's easy to get down on yourself and compare yourself to the next guy. And anyone that's ever done any content creation in this field understands that, you know, sometimes you get lost in the numbers. I mean, I have so many days where I just get super lost in like just looking at the numbers and like how much I'm making and what I need to do to make it. And it's just like, I don't do this for that. And like, I hate when I have to think about it like that. You know, I feel like my best creative work is when I don't have to worry about that kind of stuff. And it sucks because a lot of my self-worth is dedicated by these numbers on this computer screen. And it can be really toxic, to be honest with you. It can be super, super toxic. Like last year when I worked a full-time 9-to-5 Monday through Friday, right now I'm just working a 9-to-5 part-time, like 20, 25 hours a week. I was working over 40, sometimes 50 hours a week, sometimes 60. And, you know, that was easy. That was easy, man. I just go to work, I do my job, and I come home, and I didn't think about it, and so I went back to work the next day. Creating content's not like that at all, man. It's a constant revolving game of trying to stay ahead of where you were yesterday, and it can be tough sometimes, man. Mentally, it is a very exhausting job, and I try my hardest to not get mentally exhausted because I need to be at my tip-top to create content. That's one of the things is you always have to be on your game. Like I remember last year I went into work every single day when I was working the full time. I go in every single day. And even if I was sick, there was a week where I was just like completely dead and I just still go into work and I could still do my thing. And you know, there was no big change. If I even get a slight, I don't know, like I have a headache or something, I'm not at the top of my game for creating content. Like it's just, there's so many variables and things like that. And like, seriously, just even seeing the slightest nice comment at the right time, like just makes a complete world of difference. Even like going and seeing some of the reviews and things like that, that people have left on this podcast so far on Apple and things like that, just super nice. And just, I don't even know how to reciprocate that. I just really do appreciate it. Now, for people that are unaware, dun, dun. Stardom has been creating these super cool, like small photo books, right? I don't know if you guys have seen them so far or not. The last couple that came out, I think Saki had one that came out. Utami had one. There's just been a couple of them. And they've been lately focusing on like singular girls. So like instead of their other books, which have like a central theme, usually bikini, and it's got a bunch of other girls in it, it's just like one girl and a bunch of pictures of them. And Rossi, if we could like, I don't know, maybe slow down on the bikini stuff, man. Can we get something else? Can we please get something else other than bikini shots, man? Can we get like, I don't know, Mayu playing with her dog or like Arisa playing with her band or something? I don't know. Can we get some gimmick photo shoots that aren't them in bikinis? Look, I love seeing beautiful women in bikinis. Don't get me wrong. But I also like just the damn wrestlers. So if you could like just make some photo books of them just being who they are, that would also be really cool. And I would buy those. And I'm sure there's people out there that would buy those also. Now, some of these sell out super quickly, obviously, especially for the more popular girls. But the general idea is that these photo books are one-shot runs in limited quantity. So they go up and then they go down and that's the end of it. And I'm telling you this information because the next one that's coming out is Hannah Kimura's book. And I believe Hazuki's book went completely sold out within 24 hours. And I can only imagine that Hannah Kimura's book will sell even quicker than that, just based on how popular she is. So if you want to grab this book, you better be ready to click some damn buttons on your computer screen. I believe they're selling them on the June 16th show, which is the same one that I was talking about. That's their next big show. But I have no clue when they'll be on the international store. You can only kind of take an estimate. I think the TCS shirts, they were up at, it was between midnight and 3 a.m. I think the Hannah shirts went up about the same time. Star's shirts went up around the same time. So if I were you, like the 15th and the 16th, like midnight to 3 is usually probably when they'll put it up. And this is Eastern Standard Time, so whatever you need to do to kind of convert that to wherever you're at. And that's if you even want to get it. But I'm sure that Hannah, her book's going to sell out pretty quick. Hopefully Stardom understands that. You know, they understand the demand of this book and they print more than usual. I doubt it because Stardom, it's a Japanese thing, to be honest with you. It's kind of like idol stuff and figures and things like that and resins. And it's a big thing in Japan. And it's even with Nintendo. And I hate that Nintendo does this. I swear to God, they do it on purpose. And it's like a culture thing. They'd rather make a small amount of things and then use the limited exclusivity to sell it faster and then either not restock it or restock it like months later where the hype's died down. It's a very interesting way to do things. Nintendo does it too, man. Nintendo, I remember, it's happened both times for the Smash games. They came out with Smash Wii U and then Smash Ultimate. And they were selling the GameCube controllers, but you had to get a GameCube adapter for both of them. Now, I believe they work on both systems, but if you didn't have one, you had to go get one. And I'll never forget Nintendo, dude. They only sold like X amount. They sold out and then they didn't restock those things for weeks, months. It's like, dude, you have one chance to give me this damn thing. I'm not going to be playing Smash forever. I just want to relive the old fun times I had. Just give me this so I can play the damn GameCube controller with the Smash game. They just, terrible. They were like that when the Switches came out, period. I'll never forget that. Trying to find a Nintendo Switch when that thing first came out was impossible. Just stock more. What's the problem here? I know you got them. I know they're laying around. And that's kind of what the Stardom does. They're like, oh, here's 5 t-shirts. Oh, here's, you know, 20 photo books. It's like, oh, okay. I'm sure there's more than 5 people that would love these. I mean, Hannah Kimura's shirts went up recently. They sold out almost immediately. They had to restock them, and then the restock sold out. So it's like, I know you have an audience here. Just let us buy stuff. I'm also sad that because of said practices, I probably never own a Jungle Kiona book. And that just, that's so sad. Just sad jungle noises, man. Just so we're going to the Osaka Day Show, May 25th, 2019. We got a 5-match card here. And I got to tell you, the Osaka Night Show looks way better than the Osaka Day Show. And that's just how it be. I'm going to break down the cards for the day and night shows really quick because they're kind of like, they kind of share it. So we kick off the day show. We have Leo Onozaki and Konami. Then we have Saya Iida versus Natsu Sumire. We have Starlight Kid versus Andras Miyagi. We have Momo Watanabe versus, not yet. I was going to say Momo versus B, but not yet. Soon, I'm sure, because Momo, I can see in her eyes the lust for that red belt. It makes her sick to her damn stomach that she's not holding that. So Momo and B versus Arisa and Saki. And then we had Kagetsu, Hazuki, and Natsuko versus Jungle Kiona, Hanakamura, and Death Yama-san. Woo! And then on the night show, we had Saya Iida versus Natsuko Tora. We had Leo Onozaki versus Andras Miyagi. B, Prestuli! And Momo Watanabe versus Kagetsu and Natsu Sumire. We had Hana Kimura, Jungle Kiona and Konami versus Saki Kashima, Arisa Hoshiki, and Starlight Kid. And then the main event of the night show, which is the big one, Death Yama-san versus Hazuki. I can't wait to talk about that. That was some good stuff. So anyways, we'll kick it off here. We have the singles match, which kicked off the day show, which was Leo Onozaki. Leo Onozaki. versus Konami, and I mean just read the names to yourself and tell me who won this match. If you didn't watch the show, who do you think won the match? That's right, Leo. No, I'm just playing. But Leo still has not picked up her first win in stardom. She's still winless in stardom. Yet, she is improving. I'll give her that much. And I do hope she continues to get some more singles matches just so she can work on her skills a little bit. I feel like she's gotten a ton better. I mean, she's got her own little gimmick now with the elbow thing. It's kind of working out. She's introducing some new moves, like that little cross body on the ropes. You know, I have a ton of respect for Leo, man. She's a hard worker. She's almost at every single open mat that Stardom has that I see on Twitter. She never looks upset. She does her job. She goes to practices. She wears the damn shirt that Momo gave her, even though I'm sure she doesn't want to all the time. You know, maybe I get some attire of my own, but no, I'll wear this damn t-shirt, Momo. Please, Momo, help me. I couldn't help but laugh when in the pre-tape, Leo said, I'm going to pick up my first win tonight. And then it just hard cuts to Konami. I could almost hear like the narrator voice in the background after that happened. It's just like, she did not pick up her first win tonight. Konami pretty much just played around with her. Leo had a quick moment where she looked in control for maybe a second, but Konami just said, okay, well, did you know about my move, the Triangle Lancer? Its winning percentage is 100%. She made, of course, Leo tap out. Leo didn't have her new gear that she had at the Corkin Hall show, as apparently something went wrong with getting it to the arena. I'm not too sure. She tweeted about it, but my translator's not that great. And, of course, trying to single word translate everything was just a complete catastrophe. But in a turn of events, she gets to wrestle in her IWA Mid-South gear for one more run. That's right, baby. I almost gave this match a recommended rating just based on the fact that she was back in her IWA Mid-South pant gear. I'm all about that, man. But of course, Konami picked up the W in this opener. Now we had Saya Iida versus Natsu Sumire. I genuinely look forward to every single Natsu match. All of them. Literally all of them. I don't care who she's facing. All of them. They're one of my favorite things on every single show. Seriously. She's probably in my top three performers in the company right now, just based on the fact that she is an absolute comedic master. She knows exactly what she's good at, and she does it damn well. It also kind of, you know, doesn't hurt that Saya Iida is one of my favorite acts in the company with her finishing maneuver, the Iidabashi. She makes sure to throw that in there on every single pre-tape. And I think that's fantastic. Good job. Keep that up. Get that name in everyone's mouth. Make sure that they understand that you need to fear the finishing maneuver, Iidabashi. Saya tries to chase Natsu up to the top rope in this match. Natsu's going to do something. I don't really know what she had planned in the first place, but the big thing is, as long as Saya thinks that Natsu's doing something, she's already won the battle. So they're at the top rope, and Natsu unleashes her 200 IQ galaxy brain play. This is the smartest thing I've ever seen. You remember when Eddie Guerrero used to act like he got hit with the chair and throw them the chair? This is like that level galaxy brain IQ here. It's insanity. I guess the bit, if Natsu wants to start winning, she needs to sign full time and then just get on the gear. And then she'll probably get the push like Eddie did. Just you're prepared. Just get ready for it. She gets into Saya's head, who is about to do some sort of move to her on the top rope. A superplex, maybe? I don't know. But Natsu gets in her head and makes her double guess her entire existence. Natsu asks Saya, she said, why did you chase me up here? What could you possibly have planned for me? A brainbuster, Saya? Is that what you have here? A brainbuster? You don't do a brainbuster. And then she says, wow, you're right. I don't do a brain buster. And Saya backs off. And Natsu's like, yeah, keep backing up just a little. Keep backing up just a little. Whoa, whoa, come forward just a little bit. Just come up just a little bit. And then, of course, she does it because she's in stars and they're just oblivious to anything. And Natsu decides to go for a crossbody. Of course, she misses. And it almost felt like a, someone should make a little screen cap and we'll be right back. Like an Eric Andre skit or something. Easily my favorite spot of this match. Easily. Saya's brain just turned a complete moosh. She's lucky that she's even alive right now because I feel like her brain just fell out the back of her head. She truly didn't even know what she was planning to do. What could she have done? What could Saya have done this match? Huh? Well, I guess technically she could have done the Iidabashi, her finishing maneuver. We did see her do a double Iidabashi in Corkin Hall the other week. So, I don't know. Maybe Iidabashi off the top rope. I don't exactly know what that entails. I'm trying to think in my head what an Iidabashi off the top rope would look like. I guess maybe she would. Maybe she could get her on the top rope and then bridge herself over the two ropes in the corner. I mean, it's not like you can pin on the top rope. Or can you? Has anyone tried? Is the question. Wow. We might have just unlocked like some secret technique handed down that's been lost in time. Insanity. I'm assuming this looks like some sort of SmackDown versus Raw, like just create a finisher disaster. No one really knows. We're just kind of guessing. I don't know. Whatever the case may be, I'm still cheering for Saeeda anyways, because if her finishing maneuver, the Itabashi. And of course, Saya goes for the Itabashi, but Natsu saw it coming because she has 200 IQ galaxy brain. And she reverses it into a roll up of her own, the Natsubashi. That would actually, you know, Natsu, if you're listening, I know you can understand English at an extreme level. So if you're watching this and you want to make your own, the Natsubashi, I feel like that would also be okay. Anyways, Natsu picks up the win. She rolls up Saya, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but Natsu Sumire won a match. Insanity tonight. Well, today. I guess we'll get to tonight soon. We had Starlight Kid versus Andras Miyagi. Andras continuing her streak of saying words with her mouth. Isn't that crazy? She's just talking so much. Just so much talking from Andras. She says the word turd a lot. A lot. A lot. Turd. It's a fantastic word. I say shit a lot. A lot. Shit. I feel like maybe I should say turd. Especially since Andras is a demon from hell, and I would assume that she understands curse words and things like that, and she still decides to use the word turd. So maybe I should start using that. Starlight Kid, on the other hand, is, I don't know what Starlight, I really don't know what goes on in the head of Starlight Kid. I feel like she's just 24/7 thinking about doing the floss, just some sort of Fortnite dance. She's just thinking about what TikTok she's going to make next, or did she study enough for her school exams, or I don't know, going to a cafe or something. I don't really know what the Starlight Kid has in her head on a regular basis. I feel like Starlight Kid is probably harder to read than Andras, which is ridiculous to even think about. And I was thinking about this match as it was happening, and I was thinking to myself, man, you know what would be neat? If Andras hit Starlight Kid with a tombstone. I mean, she rarely ever even gets a chance to hit the tombstone in the first place, and she's got a pretty damn good pile driver, to be honest. Well, goddamn, pal. Say no more. She hit Starlight Kid with the pile driver in this match. Now, what I didn't expect was Andras to just, good lord, she stone cold slapped the shit. I mean, she stone cold slapped the turd out of Starlight Kid. I mean, she just took a steel chair and just slapped her in the neck with it. I was like, wow, she took that. Okay. Whew, oh, baby. It was hilarious, too, because Miyagi just straight up threw that chair into the crowd after she finished using it. She just tossed that thing. I mean, she yeeted it over that rope. I don't even think she realized what she did until she did it. I'm pretty sure someone in the front row just got taken out completely. But other than that, I mean, nothing super special. A solid wrestling match, you know, usually how Kid and Andras matches go. I would like to see Kid maybe go for the goo goo gaga splash a little more, which I've coined that, the middle rope frog splash she does. Starlight, I know, fantastic. Fantastic. You're very good. Just extremely good at listening and translating English. So if you want to go for the goo goo gaga splash and call it that, I would totally allow that to happen. She doesn't go for it, though. She goes to the top rope and does the big boy splash. I think you need to go for the goo goo gaga baby man splash. Just saying. Because I'm telling you right now, that top rope one ain't been working. Anyways, Andras Miyagi picks up the win, pinning the Starlight Kid. So we get into the two matches that are the big matches of the day show. We have Momo Watanabe and B. Prestuli versus Arisa Hoshiki and Saki Kashima. And we have the white belt champ and the red belt champ in a tag match. And that's pretty damn neat, I think. Arisa and Hoshiki. Arisa and Hoshiki. I've read her name too quick. Arisa and Saki. They're talking on the pre-tape. They said, this is our first time teaming up. I'm not sure if that's actually true. I almost looked it up. I almost cage matched it just to make sure that's true information. But you know what? Who am I to challenge their knowledge, right? I mean, whatever. Does it really matter in the end? Sure. No. Arisa is wearing her band's t-shirt in the pre-tape, which, come on, Arisa. Like, really? We all know that the number one rule of punk rock is to not wear your band's own merch to the show. Come on, Arisa. You're killing me with this, man. I'm trying to cheer for you, and you're out here making me look like a clown. Come on. At least, you know, Momo on the other side acknowledged that she's fallen from the top, man. Momo is nothing anymore. You don't got the white belt. Who are you? What is her identity now? Tag team extraordinaire? Tag team specialist? Huh? Teaming with B. Prestuli? Huh? Is that where you're at, Momo? Is that Queen's Quest to you, Momo? I'm honestly surprised she didn't slip in a quick, I think I'm going to take the red belt from B, but don't tell her because she can't understand what I'm saying anyway. Say, yeah, Queen's Quest. And then, you know, B would throw that up and say fuck, because that's just kind of what she does. We go to the entrances, and Arisa brought Chibi Tom to the ring. My brothers, we must rise up. Rossi, we beg you, put Chibi Tom on the international store. Allow us to spend our American human monopoly dollars on this product. There was a few weeks where Tom was talking about it, and she said, buy this doll. And I said, yes, I will go to the store right now, and I will buy this doll. You know what I got when I went to the international store? A towel. What am I going to do with a towel? Huh? What is that going to do for me? I'm going to lay on it, go put it on the beach? I'm going to sit there on my towel? Come on, Rossi. Speaking of towels, can you please put up the Jungle Kiona one? I'll hang it back here. I don't know. Just put something on the international store, Rossi. Just catch up. All right? You're trying to play the money game. Let me spend money. Momo brings the Queen's Quest flag to the ring. And now she's all about the Queen's Quest, huh? She didn't bring the flag to the ring in the white belt match, huh? But now she brings the flag to the ring. Oh, so now that she isn't the white belt champion anymore, now Momo cares about Queen's Quest, huh? Oh, now you're all about the team, huh? All about the team, Momo, huh? You don't fool me, Momo. I know what your game is. I know what your game is, Momo. It's day 465 as red belt champ with no shirt. Day 465 as red belt champ with no streamers. B continues down her path of being the top gaijin with no streamers. Keep in mind, Rebel Kel got streamers. Just keep that in mind. Rebel Kel also has a sauce. Okay, she ain't using no damn cookbook. B, she uses a cookbook. Can someone please just throw B some damn streamers, dude? Oh my goodness. Can the people that threw the streamers for Rebel Kel just throw them for B, for the love of God? I know she wants some. I can see it in her damn eyes that she needs them. She wants the paper. Anyways, they end up having a pretty average tag team match for the most part before B drops Saki with the Queen's Landing, which is still one of the more polarizing moves in the company right now. I don't know. It's weird. I have an issue with it, and I don't have an issue with it. So I'm kind of like on a neutral stance, even though I'm leaning towards more, I'm starting to have an issue with it. Here's what I think, man. If it's really that polarizing, and you have other moves. I think that someone needs to start using the backdrop driver as a finish. B already uses the backdrop driver, and it looks good. And you can call the backdrop driver Queen's Landing. And no one would bat an eye. You know, I think it looks good. And it's a damn good move. And it works for the name Queen's Landing. I'm just saying. Maybe start using that. I mean, I would pop for it. I pop for it every time you do it anyway. So why don't you just go ahead and slap a finisher on that and call it a day? I mean, not that her Japanese ocean cyclone suplexes don't look good. I mean, the Hazuki bump at the last Corkin Hall show was insane. It looked great, but it's like, if it's going to be that much of an issue, maybe just pick something else. I mean, is it that, like, would it kill you? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's such a, I don't know. It seems like such a trivial thing. Just the backdrop driver is great, you know? Anyways, Queen's Quest picked up the win, B pinned Saki, and we move on to the main event. We have Oedo Tai versus Tokyo Cyber Squad. I love the way Hannah says it. I also love the way that Hannah says fuck. It's interesting because she's backstage. Yeah, I'm just thinking about it now. She's backstage with Konami and Kiona, and like they're laughing, they're having a good time, and just like, you know, fuck is such an American thing, and it's so like just ingrained in what we say and how we say it, and especially younger people. And just like Hannah, you know, just hearing, maybe it's just because it's hearing someone from Japan saying it and using it so often. I just think it's so hilarious. Like, they're just laughing, having a good time, and, like, you know, Konami said something silly, and Hannah just looked over, and she's like, it's funny because her, the way she looks does not match the way she's saying it. She's smiling. She's, you know, she looks, like, completely just easy. She's good. And she's just, the way that it comes out of her mouth is just like, fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. It sounds like the most, like, she's legitimately pissed off, but she's smiling the entire time she's in it. Fuck you. It's just insanity. Just, I have no clue how she, and like I said, maybe it's just the way, because it's like not a Japanese word. So, like, fuck you. I laugh every time. There was one specifically backstage. I can't remember where it was at in these past three shows. But there was, it was at some point on one of these shows, and she was, it was the night show, right? Because I think they were teaming with Konami. It was the night show. It was the night show. I'm pretty sure. Fuck you. Anyways, goodness gracious. We've seen that, Oedo Tai has brought in this new catchphrase. We are the best. We are the worst. We are Oedo Tai. And I thought they were going to completely drop the let's try our half-assed best thing. That's like one of my favorite things in the world. But huzzah, Hazuki said it in the pre-tape. Hazuki will keep it alive. Thank you, Hazuki. We love you. They also said that Nasuko's new nickname is Katana-chan. There's too many swords, dude. How many swords can Pro Res have, man? Like, we have Hannah with her light-up sword. Natsuko's nickname is Katana-chan. Billiam Osprey, who cannot stop talking about his damn sword, dude. His damn ninja sword that he had the best of the Super Junior Finals with Shingo. Oh my god! Oh, dude, the sword. Yes. Billiam looked like every single kid in, like, 10th grade that read, like, Inuyasha or Rurouni Kenshin or, like, like, you go on Facebook or something. Just seeing Billiam with that hood and that sword. Oh my god. That was so great. I don't think I'll ever forget that, man. Will Sama. I'll never forget that. On the other end of this big, Katana-chan is, I like it. It works. That's cool. It's not, you know, Billiam reading Rurouni Kenshin. So, on the other side of things, Stardom has confirmed, because this is actually an interesting matchup, because we have Kiona, Hannah, and Death Yamasan, which we haven't seen them team up yet. And, Hannah confirms, now this is canon. This is canon now, people. Stardom has confirmed that Death Yamasan uses some weird form of hell magic to transform into her death form. That's crazy. Because originally she's just Yone-yama, and then she uses hell magic when she gets to the show to transform into death. I assume Andras is not happy about this whole situation, because that's a secret that was passed down through the demons, and Hannah just exposed that demon secret, and I'm sure that will come up to play some point. TCS hits their music, and of course it's still as just absolutely ridiculous as ever. I mean, good lord, it is just, it is all over the place, and I love it. Just more jungle noises, please. Bass boost to Hannah. Get in there. The match ended up being really fun, though. Death ended up picking up the win with a code red, which I assume is called death, because everything she does is just death. Every move is death. Every word is death. Everything is death. So Death ended up pinning Hazuki, which I think was just kind of like a quick way to build to their high-speed title match on the next show, which is the Osaka Night Show. But it ended up being a pretty fun match, you know? So, like I said, Death Yamasan pinned Hazuki, so that gives the win to TCS. After the match, Hannah went to close the show when I almost forgot about this till I looked at my notes. After the match, Hannah went to close the show. And Hazuki yeeted that belt. She just straight up threw the high-speed belt into the ring. And when she did it, it just clobbered Hannah in the side of the head. And you can tell that Hannah was pissed. We've all had that look before. We've had, like, let's say you're playing basketball or something and someone throws the ball at you and you don't realize it and it hits you and you get pissed, you know, like there's just like this irrational, just super upset state of mind. And I feel like that's where Hannah was when she got hit with that belt. Like Konami literally jumped in the ring just in case Hannah lost it. I think if Hazuki did what, like if she wasn't already in the back, like she threw the belt and pretty much just walked straight to the back. If she was still in the ring or still outside, I think Hannah would have just started shooting on her. I'll be honest with you. Thankfully, she regained composure, and they ended up closing the show good. But before that all happens, of course, Hannah has to get some shots in there. She calls Hazuki a fucking brown hair. I don't know if that's an insult or not. It just felt dirty here. Like, it didn't sound like an insult, you know? Like, you're like, ah, oh, you fucking redhead. Like, yeah. But the way that she said it, definitely sounded a little bad. But that was the Osaka Day show. It wasn't, I didn't give it any rating. You could definitely pass. It wasn't a recommended or a highly recommended or anything like that. But, you know, the best match of the evening was easily Oedo Tai versus TCS. The best moment was Natsu Sumire's 200 IQ Galaxy Brain Top Rope Mind Games. If she doesn't, that needs to be the entirety of that. That just needs to be a move, to be honest. And she needs to call it the Natsu Sumire 200 IQ Galaxy Brain Top Rope Mind Games. That should be the whole name of it. But like I said, the day show is definitely something you could pass over. I just enjoy watching the shows because, you know, they're just fun. You know, I just like watching the wrestlers wrestle. But I didn't give anything or recommend it from this show, and you definitely like, you know, there's nothing too crazy from this one. The Osaka Night Show, on the other hand, we do have a pretty damn good match in the main event. But of course, we have to get through the rest of the card before we get to that big match with Death Yama-san and Hazuki, who is just super impressive lately. I cannot say enough nice things about Hazuki and the way she's been acting lately. It's been very, very cool. So we kick off the Osaka Night Show, which I'm not sure. I don't know what time. I guess there's, I don't know the difference between the night and day shows. I don't know if there's like an 8-hour difference or how they end up splitting these shows up, but whatever the case may be, we kick off the show with Saya Iida versus Natsuko Tora. Saya came out for this one super excited. I have no idea why she was so excited. She came out in her entrance with a little hop and a skip, and I was like, damn, she is really excited to get her ass beat tonight. Like, I was like, what in the world is she so excited about? You're facing Natsuko, man. She's pretty protected right now. You better get that ass slapped. Anyways, Natsuko was just full freaking tranquilo for this one. I mean, like, she was just making sure the pajamas made sense. And speaking of Natsuko, I actually bought the A6 wrestling shoes that she wears here recently. I'll be sure to get a picture of me wearing them one of these days when I'm deadlifting. They fit great. And I got them for $50 on sale, so that's pretty sweet. I mean, I had old Chuck Taylors that I used to, or Converses to, that I used to deadlift in, but they had just gotten beat up. You know, I've had them for a couple of years, and, you know, over time they just wear down, throw them in the bag. Deadlift, you get dirty from the gym and things like that, beat to hell. And I saw that the literal exact A6 wrestling shoes that Natsuko wears were for sale and on sale, so I just ended up picking them up, the little booties. Wrestling shoes are fantastic for deadlifting and for gym use, and just period. If you're looking for a pair of like general gym shoes, wrestling shoes are fantastic for the gym, deadlifting. I squat and raise heel shoes, so maybe that's something you a lot of people squat either barefooted, or, you know, wrestling shoes work for squatting too. Most wrestling shoes are flat foot. This should be good regardless of the situation, but just, you know, little gym fun fact for the boys. Saya had some super strong points in here with a great barrage of drop kicks. She seems to be adding that into her matches quite a bit here recently. She has this like barrage, like boom, 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 drop kicks. Natsuko was selling it for her, surprisingly. I didn't think she was going to sell it as well as she did. Damn, she really sold for Saya. That was cool. Natsuko ended up, oh man, don't get me started on this. Natsuko ended up kicking out of Saya Ida's finishing maneuver, the Itabashi, which is just unheard of, man. How dare you, Natsuko? You damn, you evil little bastard. Natsuko, of course, ended up getting the upper hand, and she hit the frog splash to win the match. That's right, the frog splash. And like I said, it looks like she might be retiring the guillotine leg drop, which kind of sucks because, oh my goodness, I love a good guillotine leg drop. Really, I truly do. Maybe she'll bring it out for bigger matches, like I mentioned, where maybe she doesn't want to hurt her butt cheeks as much, or whatever the case may be. I just hope she didn't retire just because of the one spot where she, you know, it ended up messing up. Like, I feel like that don't overblow that, you know, like shit happens in wrestling. We'll see how it goes. But whatever the case may be, Natsuko ended up picking up the win over Saeeda in the first match of the Osaka Night Show. We have Leo Onozaki facing off against Andras Miyagi. And first off, I just want to give a shout out to Leo, honestly. Second off, I want to give a shout out to Andras Miyagi, who posted on Twitter the other day with this badass new t-shirt she's coming out with. I also just recently found out that it probably won't be on the international store. Let me spend money on y'all. Why won't y'all let me buy stuff, man? I'll never be able to get this damn shirt. Makes me sad. Let me support you, Andras, please. I want to wear the hell t-shirt. Andras didn't even take the Oedo Tai hoodie off in this match, which is just, I'm telling you, you might want to watch out with that disrespect, because Leo will come out of left field with some sort of weird tiger driver combo she learned from some IWA tapes from 2006. You need to watch out for Onozaki. She's going to come out one day. She's going to let it ride. She ain't doing no damn elbow drops anymore. She's doing tiger driver 91s and psycho drivers. Y'all are going to feel the pain. You need to watch out. I mean, hell, Leo even said in the pre-tape for this match that she was scouting this match. Leo's a tape trader, man. She's got those ECW shows from Japan on tape. You need to watch out for her, man. Really? Well, anyways, Andras treated Leo like her young boy and made her tap out to a side headlock crossface. Maybe Leo won't be doing any tiger drivers anytime soon, but for the time being, you know, just keep an eye out. She could be adding those in there. And by the way, Andras still has the hoodie on. The entire match. Just kept the hoodie on. We move to B. Prestuli and Momo Watanabe. And they're facing off against Kagetsu and Natsu Sumire. And you already know I'm ready to go for this one. Natsu's shoulder is super taped up for some reason. I hope it's nothing too serious. Kagetsu, like, pre-tapes. Like, she just tapes spots that she thinks are going to get hurt for whatever reason. So maybe, you know, that's what she did. I mean, you never know. Wrestlers will never tell you when they're hurt. Like, you'll never see a wrestler go, I'm hurt, until they are hurt. Like, they busted something, they're blown out, they have to go to the hospital, something like that. That's usually the case. So I don't think Natsu's going to come out and be like, yes, I am hurt, and I'm wrestling hurt. That just isn't going to happen. You also kind of get the idea from a lot of these pre-tapes how these women kind of feel about the Osaka Day and Night shows. I enjoy the Osaka Day and Night shows just because they're kind of fun, but I'll be honest with you, it doesn't take me out of it a little bit when it looks like the women just fucking hate it. I mean, I don't think they hate the Osaka Day splits by any means, but you can definitely tell that a lot of them don't look forward to these shows. There just seems to be like a general, I don't know, discourse in everyone's attitude. Obviously, this is just how, like, Oedo Tai acts, you know, most of the time. But I don't know. Once they hit the ring, things start to get better. But it's just an observation I made that, like, they're super not into these splits. And it still feels super weird to see B. Prestuli walk out with the red belt and Momo walking out with the tag belt. I assume this changes at some point in the future. I mean, I personally would love to see Konami get the red belt. Hey, you know. But Momo moving into that position probably makes more sense. I mean, Rossi can't go 15 damn seconds without Momo holding a big belt, so I assume that she'll be moving to that red belt position here, too. It is day 745, and B. Prestuli has no streamers still. That's a bummer. The ref took away Natsu's weird... You know how Natsu comes to the ring with that whip? That BDSM whip? She's interesting, man. Well, the ref took it away. Just took it. Thankfully, she had another item in her back pocket. She took that out real quick and, of course, started to spank Momo. Dude in the front row with the Nikon DSLR was like, yeah. Start burst-shotting that shit, yeah. Classic front row stardom DSLR fan. Dude's out of control. Someone get this guy. Kagetsu and B beat the brakes off each other in this one. I would really like to see a singles rematch for the red belt. And probably not going to happen, but I would like to see it. I mean, with Kagetsu, even if she loses, is just because I think Kagetsu is just really good. And to be fair to B, Kagetsu and B have very good chemistry. And to be fair to Kagetsu, she kind of has good chemistry with everyone. But it works with B, nonetheless. I mean, they do have good chemistry. Momo hits the B driver before locking in a crossface chicken wing on Natsu's bum-ass shoulder. She picks up the W. I love that she kind of adapted to Natsu's bum shoulder. I was wondering if Momo has used the crossface chicken wing a ton recently. and asked in Discord, and I feel like the only, I don't know, maybe in the mask versus dance match, she definitely hasn't used it a ton until this, like, recently. But I thought it was cool for her to pick up the win over Natsu. Just you know, small things like that. Instead of going for the Peach Sunrise, the Crossface Chicken Wing, I thought that was pretty cool. But like I said, Momo and B ended up picking up the W here. And I would have honestly almost given this recommended if it would have just gotten some more time. If this would have went 20-25 minutes, this could have definitely been like a recommended. This was going fantastic. We have TCS versus Stars, which is Hanakamura, Jungle Kiona, and Konami. And I swear this might have been the match where she's like, fuck y'all, fuck y'all. It's hilarious, man. I love it. Hanakamura, Jungle Kiona, and Konami versus Saki Kashima, Alisa Hoshiki, and the Kid. I feel like that when she, all right, when Starlight Kid turns heel or whatever, I don't know, probably never, but if she does, I just want her to start calling the Kid. Yeah, it's Saki Kashima, Alisa Hoshiki, and the Kid. I always call her Starlight again, the Kid. We get a trios rematch from the last Korakuen Hall show, but Stars made some substitutions. They swapped out Mayu and Tom for Alisa and the Kid. I'm just going to start calling her that now. Alisa brings back Chibi Tom, since Tom and Mayu aren't here today, and they also brought Mayu's little wristband. And I'm assuming they're recovering from injuries, because Mayu just refuses to recover from injuries, and Tom's been having lingering issues for quite a while now. And she has a big match on the 16th, so it'd probably be good for her to take a rest. I would also, once again, like to have a word with Alisa for bringing back Chibi Tom, since they refuse to put it back on the international store. Let me buy it. Let me give you my dollar bills. Please take my money, Stardom. Why won't you let me freaking just buy the stuff that's on the damn product? So, y'all know that ladder spot? Yeah, you know the one. The spot in ladder matches where someone takes the ladder around their neck and they start swinging it around, right? And they just hit everybody with the ladder. Yeah, Jungle Kiona did that in this match. Except she didn't use a ladder. She just used the Kid. Yeah, she literally picked up Starlight Kid, like a small object, and then beat the rest of the women with her. With the Kid. A true legend. We stand a legend. Starlight Kid basically got manhandled this entire match. Hannah dragged her ass up to the top of the seating area. She tied her mask to the steel reinforcement in an attempt to get her counted out. Literally just dragged her to the top of the seating area, took her mask ties, and then tied her to the steel reinforcement. They had to get everyone. Arisa was like, oh my God, this is a knot like for a sale, but I don't know if I do anything about this. Anyways, they get back in the ring, and after all that, TCS takes turns trying to remove Starlight Kid's mask. Of course, they don't, but they do. And I mean, honestly, if I'm giving this match a rating, I'm giving it big. I'm talking huge, 6-star Meltzer big boy stars for creativity, because it was honestly just a super fun match to watch. Hannah ends up picking up the win after a team beatdown and a missile drop kick on Saki. Yeah, Saki lost to a missile drop kick. Weird. But TCS, like I said, picked up the W here. Before we get into the big main event, Death, Yama-san, Death versus Hazuki for the high-speed title. Death cuts one of maybe the best promos of the year here, to be completely honest with you. Vince actually heard that promo as it was happening, picked up the phone. He was like, I need to bring Death to the WWE, but I guess maybe he decided they already have enough of that, you know, with the ratings and creative and all that. Maybe we don't need more Death in the WWE, you know. Hazuki has so much intensity, dude. So much. She had Death in a crossface. The sheer intensity of Hazuki's face just made this move look 20 times better. Everything Hazuki does, it looks like she does it with so much just intensity. Of course, Death responded to this by, you know, hitting her in the face with a chair. We've seen a lot of chairs here in the Osaka Day Night shows. I actually enjoyed this spot a lot. You know, crowd super hot. Death, Yama-san, super over. Hazuki is, like I said, I feel like she just has a chip on her shoulder recently. A lot is in place for this match. Death ends up going for the code red, or what I assume she calls Death. It's like everything else. Hazuki reverses and picks up the win with the Hazuki straw, which I guess is her version of an Oklahoma roll. I figured out the Itabashi, which is like the Itabashi, which is like, I'm assuming where Saya's from. I can only assume that's, unless she just really likes that area. I don't know. I cannot figure out the wordplay for this. I thought maybe it was like a play on the word Hazuki roll, which would be like her version of the Oklahoma roll, which is the move that it is. But I am not sure if anyone knows this information, because she started using it again a lot. And I don't know if I just would like to know the background of this move. But it was a fantastic match, man. They really did a good job. Hazuki picked up the win. She pinned Death with the Oklahoma Hazuki thing. But a lot of intensity. Crowd was hot. Death was over. Death got some great stuff in here. I think this really shows that Yoneyama is still here, still ready to go, still here to play. Years in the biz, but still has it. I mean, this was easily the best match of today's Osaka split, even if it was only like, I don't know, 6 minutes or so, which it's only 6 minutes because that kind of fits in with Hazuki's gimmick with the high-speed belt, though. So, I mean, that is cool that it was like that. I will say that I do want to see Hazuki post high-speed belt, whenever that is, or maybe have someone take her beyond 10 minutes. I would like to see Hazuki beyond the 10-minute mark. I feel like she's gotten a ton better. I just would like to see that. Hazuki did say she's shooting for the record defenses with the high-speed belt, and that's when Saki came into the ring to announce that, I want a shot. I would like a shot at that high-speed belt. Saki actually grabs the mic and she says, do you people think I'm worthless without Iwatani and Nakano? And of course, Natsu has to answer that with, yes, I think you are worthless. I love Natsu, man. Never change. Please never change. I actually gave this match a recommended, which was the only recommended match between the Osaka Day and Osaka Night shows. But I had to give that a recommended. A fantastic job. Very fast paced, very quick. Only 6 or so minutes, but they did everything they could. It was really good. So my best match of the Osaka Night Show was Death Yamasan versus Hazuki. Obviously, I think that was, I mean, even if you want to give a best match over two shows, it was probably still Death Yamasan versus Hazuki. The best moment of the show was Hana attempting to count out Starlight Kid by tying her mask to the steel reinforcement. I love that spot so much, so much. But for my overall show rating, I didn't give it a recommended or a highly recommended. I think that you should probably seek out the Hazuki match if you want to see the Hana attempting to count out Starlight Kid with the mask thing. You could check that out too. But overall, I think, you know, not like a recommended or super recommended show. Now we come to the big show, the Fukuyama Konami Homecoming. This is the day after, by the way. So they do the Osaka Day, the Osaka Night, and then they traveled to go to Hiroshima for this show here, which is Konami's home place. And maybe that's why they didn't want to be there for the Osaka Day and Night shows, because they were like, we have to go here and wrestle again. I mean, like, some of these girls are wrestling the day, night, and this Fukuyama show. So it's just like, that's a lot of wrestling. Maybe that's the reason. Anyways, we kicked off this show outside the venue with Konami, who was just super excited. She just is so happy to be home for the show. You can see it in her face, man. She's just gleaming. She is just so happy. I mean, she wants to win with the Triangle Lancer in her hometown. That's like her number one goal right now. I mean, it is 100%. Her win percentage is pretty high. So there is a good chance that happens. Of course, it didn't, but there was a good chance that it did. And I thought it was hilarious that, yeah, I respect them for trying to record some B-roll of Konami walking down this hallway. I respect it, but they didn't do anything with it. So it's just like, they played this B-roll, and then it was just Konami walking down a hallway. She didn't turn around, she didn't say anything, just walked down the hallway before we cut to the first match of the evening. Very weird. We had Leo Onozaki versus Saki Kashima. And let me say that, Leo, I know you want your first win here, but I don't know, man. Pick somebody else. Leo said, I would like to win my first match. The narrator, she did not win her first match. Saki is, of course, challenging for the high-speed title. So maybe Leo's not going to get her first win here. I'm so sorry. I promise you one day you will get a win, and it will be a good day. And I will celebrate with you on your first win. I promise I will. Today is just not that day. Momo should really help you out, Leo. I'm going to be honest with you, man. Do a training montage with Momo or something. Have Leo just do something with Momo. Can Momo do anything with anyone else other than B. Preston Lee? B does not need Momo. B is the red belt champ. You need Leo. What is Hina doing? Momo, please. Look, man. See, this is what I'm saying, man. Momo sees Queen's Quest as a vanity project. Help your people, Momo. Be a good person, Momo. It was also super cool to just see a new venue. Honestly, it was just really neat to see this new venue and how everyone was in super high spirits. I think maybe they were just super happy to be there. Everyone was in super high spirits compared to the Osaka split from the previous shows. The acoustics in this venue were crazy. This room is like, I don't think this was supposed to be a wrestling room. I don't know what this was. I don't even know what this venue was. But the room is just super wide open. The ceiling's super high, so the sound is bouncing off everything. I mean, just absolutely everything, which was great for the TCS entrance music, man. They just, good Lord. It doesn't exactly sound bad. It just sounds different. And of course, the Saki Streamer Squad is in full effect here. Triple S's. You'll know what I'm talking about if you ever see Saki. For some reason, Saki, it's incredible how she's kept up, how popular she is, because she more or less hasn't done, I mean, she was the trios champion, but they didn't really do anything for a little bit of time. Saki's kind of been eating pins for the most part until this high speed belt challenge. But she still gets a ton of streamers, man. It's just incredible. I just love seeing how many she gets compared to other people. Even though she's been more or less eating pins for quite a bit of time, it's quite the enigma here. Of course, Saki picks Leo up like a sack of hot rocks and beats her ass. That's just how you knew what was going to happen. She's going for the high-speed belt. So, but she picks her up and pins her with the angel's wings. But she gave respect to Leo. So, you know what? That's cool, man. I'm cool with Saki. I think she's cool. I actually just picked up her photo book, so that's here too. Of course, my mailman decided, you know what, man? I'm going to take this, and I'm just going to fold it in half and put it in your mailbox. Thanks, dude. I only paid $15 shipping for this book that you just slammed into my mailbox. I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much, USPS. We have Saya Iida versus Andras Miyagi. And you know... Andras's entrance is already super cool. It's already the greatest entrance of all time in a small arena. You know, when they're running the Osaka shows or whatever the case may be, it's already cool. She comes out, she's wild, but she is super hyped up today. She must have had a white monster, man. Matter of fact, man, I think it's about that time. What we got here on deck? Ooh, that's 100% concentrated boomer juice. The floor is wide open. Andras is just wilding out, man. She's going crazy. She's slamming her head against stuff. She's crazy. She's freaking out. She's all over the place. There's just so much room for activities. Andras takes complete control of that situation. Of course, Saya does not. I think she actually forgot she was making her entrance. And then at the last second, she just sprints to the ring for some reason. I mean, she has a pep in her step. She was getting it. She was running. And take your time, you know. Reserve your energy for your finishing maneuver, the Itabashi. Andras is, of course, wrestling in a hoodie again. I'm not sure why she's doing this. I mean, I'm not sure if it's I'm wrestling in a hoodie because, you know, these guys are not worth my time, or I'm wrestling in a hoodie because I'm getting a new attire made or something. I don't know. Just an observation. Andras has been incorporating this closed fist punch into her moveset, which, of course, is a very good heel move. The ref always says something about it. No closed punches, Andras. Damn it. I personally love the spot. It's very smart. It helps build her dirty meter. She can break out of anything. She can literally do anything once she gets her meter full. Devastating heel maneuvers all over the place. It's crazy. Good job. You know, I also have been playing SmackDown vs. Raw recently. I wish, honestly, you know, I was going to say something a little crazy. Yeah. I'm just going to drink my drink. And we'll move on. Saya Iida goes for a complete multitude of pins on Andras before Andras breaks out a roll up of her own and gets the pin. See, the issue, Saya could have won this match, I think. I think she could have beat Andras if she would have went for her devastating finishing maneuver, the Itabashi. But she didn't, and now you pay the price. Andras picks up the win. We have Momo Watanabe and B. Prestuli versus the kid and Arisa Hoshiki. So Utami's returning soon, so I assume we won't be seeing the tag team of B and Momo for too much longer. I'm very, very excited for Utami to return, and my hopes are she just torture racks everybody and wins everything. To be honest with you, I just am so in love with her. I just wanted her to torture rack all the stuff. I mean, actually, her Utami, Azumi, and Mayu are all returning within like weeks of each other, which is crazy. It's incredible. Honestly, let me use a better word. It's incredible that with all this talent out, Stardom has still been trucking and kept things moving, and they've had some pretty damn good shows. And I think that really just goes to show how in-depth this roster truly is, to be honest with you. They've had most of the top talent out for a bit, and they've been able to adapt, and I think that's great news. Now, Arisa comes out with her $13.99 hat. Somebody just buy the damn hat, okay? Somebody just get the damn $13.99 hat, please. She looks like such a little dork with it on, man. I love it. If I had a regular-sized human head, I would totally buy the hat. But sadly, I was born with this big doo-doo head, so I can't wear hats, dude. Look at my head and tell me I can wear a hat. I cannot. I can't believe my eyes, man. I can't believe it. So first, we get to see the $13.99 hat. And then my eyes, I thought, were deceiving me, maybe based on the hat. But that's not the case. After over 9,000 human days have passed, B. Prestuli got streamers thrown in her pre-match introduction. B. Presley, she got streamers thrown in her pre-match introduction. I'm telling you, man. Fukuyama, they're in the beehive, man. They are in the beehive, brother. I didn't think I would ever see this day come. It's time to reset the B. Prestuli counter for when she gets streamers. We have to actually reset it. I didn't think this day would come. The red belt champ got streamers. I think it's because if they didn't throw those streamers, they all understood that Will Sama would attack them with his sword. I'll bring my sword. I showed you my sword. Please respond. Oh my God. Please don't block me on Twitter, Will and B. And just don't block me. Starlight Kid, on the other hand, has had a horrible few days. Starlight Kid has been absolutely terrorized by Tokyo Cyber Squad, and now Momo is just beating the brakes off of her. I'm telling you, she's going to drop the Starlight. She's just going to be the kid. She's going to have to start beating somebody's ass. I think Starlight needs to take a few days off, maybe make some more TikToks, hit the books, come back and try again. I assume Azumi's coming back soon, so maybe they'll do something with that. Maybe they'll do something with Kid and Azumi again, but I guess we'll have to wait and see what they have planned for her. B, of course, had to make sure to reach her fuck quota here as she needlessly just yells out, "Top fucking Gaijin," before she hits her Regalplex. Of course, I'm glad that Arisa made her paid for it with a $13.99 off the top, but the quota, of course, had to be reached. I really thought this was a good back and forth, though. You know, Starlight got some really good offense in on Momo after she got her brakes beaten off. And even though she pretty much got beat up, she did have the upper hand at one point against Momo, so that's always good. Momo, of course, ends up getting her in the crossface chicken wing again and makes her tap out. And this was actually a really good match. I'm not going to give it a recommend or anything, but I had a super fun time watching it. I still would like to see B use a backdrop driver. Queen's Landing, backdrop driver. Make it happen. I'm telling you. Maybe we'll get more streamers. So we have another tag team match because we had the big singles main event. We have Hazuki and Natsuko Tora versus Hanakamura and Jungle Kiona. And backstage on the pre-tapes for this one, we have Hana and Kiona taking turns saying nice things about Konami, which is just super sweet before, you know. Kiona said that she had a fish face. We also see Andras making her entrance with Oedotai in this match, and she doesn't have the hoodie on. Turns out there's nothing wrong with her top. She just wants to wear a hoodie. I don't know. Who am I to question a demon from hell? And I'm always just kind of glad to see Kiona just break out, to be honest. I'm very glad to see her break out just some of her power moves, any of them, literally any of them. Because lately she's just sort of been assisting, doing tag team moves, taking the pin. Hey, don't worry, she takes the pin here too. I mean, she was stretching out Natsuko in this match and even had the upper hand a few times on Natsuko, which is wildly different than most of the matches she's had since John broke up. So I'm glad to see that Kiona's finally getting some moves in on Natsuko because it's been a bad trip so far. things were going actually great for Kiona and Hannah before Hazuki escaped the hammer throw power bomb. That's right. Kiona was actually about to hit her finish, which would, that's crazy. I know. But, you know, she got rolled up with the Hazuki stroll. Hazuki straw. What is this? Someone explain this to me. It's just an Oklahoma roll. It's not even her devastating finishing maneuver, the Itabashi. The Natsubashi. Still think that should be a thing. If anyone can give me a background on that finishing name, anyone, please feel free to do so. So Edo Tai ends up picking up the W here. Super fun match. Fucking hard hitting. Great. Kiona got to break out some of her power moves. Hazuki looked like $1 million. Natsuko looked great. And Hannah did her thing. I actually ended up putting this as a recommended rating. I mean, it was good. After the match, Natsuko and Hazuki say they're going for the Goddesses of Stardom belts whenever Utami is cleared, which is actually soon. They didn't know. I don't think they announced that by this show, did they? I don't remember. The timeline's a little weird. But Natsuko and Hazuki are going to be going for those belts, or the tag team belts, and that's good news. You know, Hazuki and Natsuko have been putting on fantastic performances lately, and I'm very much looking forward to this one. Hannah says that TCS versus Oedo Tai will be against Kagetsu, Natsu, and Andras. And remember, everybody, it's not just the belts on the line, it's the camo. It's a big fight feel as the camo's on the line, brother. Now we have the main event of the Fukuyama show, Konami's homecoming. Main event time. Kagetsu versus Konami. Kagetsu, of course, doesn't have the red belt, as she dropped it to B. Prestuli. I really wish this was for the red belt. Damn you, B. Why'd it have to be like this? But still, regardless, red belt or not, big fight feel. Everything with Kagetsu in Stardom has a big fight feel. She is still the red belt champ in my heart. She truly feels like the final boss of Stardom. Can you disagree with that? Anything and everything that happens in Stardom runs through Kagetsu. Konami had a homecoming and she picked her match and she still picked Kagetsu over B. Prestuli. She could have picked anyone. And she said, yes, Kagetsu will do. Even in Fukuyama, Konami is facing Kagetsu, not the other way around. Kagetsu is the final boss of Stardom. Please inject this match straight into my veins. I am so ready. Seeing how happy Konami was when she made her entrance was just, it really made the show. Like, if I saw nothing else but the absolute euphoric happiness on Konami's face, I have never been that happy in my life. Seeing someone be that happy for a slight second, I think maybe that was like secondhand happiness. I wish that I could, even for a second, feel the happiness that Konami felt when she made her entrance in Fukuyama and got to see all her friends and all her family perform against Kagetsu, one of the greatest in Stardom, maybe one of the greatest of all time. I mean, it was just awesome. This show is everything, dude. I'm so glad they do these homecoming shows. I'm so, so glad. Because, I mean, I even got to see Jungle Kiona in Nagoya, even though she lost Momo. I still got to see it. It was really, really sweet. It was cool. It was neat. And you know we're in here for a long haul when Kagetsu and Konami spend 5 minutes just trying to lock each other in a leg lock. You know, like I didn't even look at the time, how long this went. I just remember reading on Twitter it was a time limit draw. I assume maybe 10, 15, you know, 20. And we're going 30 minutes. So we got a great groundwork. You know, they're just going back and forth trying to lock in this leg lock on each other. The second they started trading kicks back and forth, the crowd just came alive. I mean, I'm here for this. They're here for this. We just want to see these girls just beat the hell out of each other. Kagetsu just starts mercilessly beating up on Konami. I mean, takes her to the outside, throws her into the chairs in the crowd, spits in her face. Hell, she does at least a 20-yard sprint from the back of the arena. Like, Konami had Oedo Tai hold Konami. Kagetsu ran all the way. I mean, she is in the back of the arena and runs all the way back to the ring and hits a drop kick. Single leg drop kick to Konami, who's being held up by Oedo Tai. Kagetsu doesn't care about your hometown. She could care less. You see these sunglasses she wears backstage, man? She's like Taz. Because it was the damn glasses. But I mean, once they get into this, man, it really never slows down. Kagetsu tries to go for the Oedo coaster. She gets cut off, obviously. Konami scouted it. Konami tries to kick Kagetsu to death in response. Even does a top rope dive to the outside on a Kagetsu. She's putting a lot into this match. Before she heads back to the top, hits a missile drop kick to the back of Kagetsu, who drops to the floor. Kagetsu tries to get out of this triangle lancer. She succeeds. Because if you know if she locked it in, 100% win rate, you would have lost. Kagetsu then throws the ref down, spits in Konami's face, and then she hits the Oedo coaster. She goes for the pinfall. One. Ding, ding, ding. Time limit draw. The bell rings as soon as Kagetsu has the upper hand. She hits the Oedo coaster, and then that was it. To be fair, I mean, if we were to speculate from the last couple of matches, she probably would have not gotten the three count. Kagetsu has not pinned a lot of the top tier people in the last couple of matches with the Oedo coaster. So I can only assume that she probably wouldn't have got a three count. So that's what I'm going to go with. Because in my mind, it would have played out a little different. I think this is a fantastic match. Even at a time limit draw, I think it was fantastic. I gave this match a recommended. I thought it was good. I thought they did it good. There was no stakes. There was no real stakes at play. It was just kind of like almost like an exhibition, you know? It was kind of like Konami proving that she deserves to be in the same realm as B with the red belt and things like that. Because, you know, Kagetsu just lost it recently. And she pretty much had the red belt forever. You know, if Kagetsu still had the red belt here, I think this match would have actually been a little different, you know? The match would have probably played out a little different. They spent a lot of time feeling each other out, and it made it feel more like an exhibition than like a big match. If that makes sense. I still think it was a fantastic match. Don't get me wrong. By any means, this is still a great match. I mean, I give it a recommend. I think you should definitely check it out. I was surprised that Kagetsu was the one with the upper hand, though. That's what I'm saying. Is especially with Konami facing B later on for the red belt, I just thought maybe like it would be a time limit draw when Konami got the Triangle Lancer. But I guess, I don't know. Would that affect the win percentage? I don't think so. I feel like even if you didn't win with it, it doesn't matter. It was 100%. So they had Konami end up closing the show with a very, very heartwarming message about how she may have left her home, but her home has never left her. And seriously, it's very hard not to be all in on Konami. She's literally just the best. I mean, she's just so sincere. She's an ass kicker. You know, she loves just wrestling. It's just really hard not to want her to be the red belt champion. She called out B. Presley, who made sure to come out and say fuck. She cannot stop saying that, man. Come on, at least you're going to do it. Say it like Hannah. Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. Make sure you put some heat into that, B. Anyways, appreciate the support, B. Thanks. So the Konami homecoming was a big success, man. A big success. My best match from the show, I mean, let's be real. Kagetsu versus Konami. Best match, easily. Best moment was B. Prestuli actually getting streamers thrown for. I was thinking we were never going to see it. We got to reset the timer. I can't believe that. And for my overall show rating, I give this a recommended. I do think you should check this show out if you have a chance. I think that, you know, between the main event and the tag team match, and then the Momo tag team match was even good. I almost would have given that a recommended, which would have made this a 3 recommended show. You know, the first two matches are, you know, they're just matches, you know, get Saki hot for her high speed title match. Andrade picks up a win because she just needs one. But, you know, get her hot for the big tag. I mean, you can do a couple of things. Definitely a recommended show, though. So, like I said, overall, Konami's homecoming, big success. Great event. Final two matches were fantastic. I mean, I seriously think they did a great job. It's a very good couple of days here for Stardom over the Osaka Splits and the homecoming. So anyways, guys, thank you so much for joining me here this afternoon, this evening. I don't know what time you're watching this. You're a crazy kind of guy. Maybe you're on the way to work. Maybe you're on the way back from work. Maybe you're at the gym. Maybe you're just hanging out at your house. Maybe you're cooking lettuce. I don't know what you're doing. You know something crazy, though? I know you are. Crazy dude. Crazy girl. I don't know. Are there girls watching this? What's up? Are there dudes watching this? What's up? Good stuff, man. Thank you guys so much for watching this. I hope that you guys did enjoy. Like I said, if you guys want to check out the Apple Podcasts, hit me up with that goody-goody review and that 5-star rating. I would appreciate it. I think next episode what we're going to do is I want to check out the Stardom documentary. So I think you can look out for that. I haven't decided if I'm going to put that in an episode with any actual things yet. Like, I don't know if I'm only going to like dedicate an episode to the documentary or not. I'll probably be taking questions for that episode or even quotes from the community. So if you know, if you want to give me a quote for what you thought about the Stardom documentary, if you haven't seen it, it's on Viceland. I believe it's up for United States people now, so you can check that out. I'll probably be taking quotes, so you know, if you're on Twitter and you want to tell me what you thought of the show or the documentary, or if you're on Discord and you want to do the same, you can do that also. But we'll figure out what we're going to do with that when we get to that. So once again, thank you guys so much for coming by. I hope you guys have been enjoying Big Fight Feel, and I'll catch you guys on the next episode when it goes up. Have a good day. Have a good evening. This show is the best. This show is the worst. This is Big Fight Feel.